put that over here. Testing. We're always being tested. My name's Susie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, everybody. Well, when I told my friends I was going to talk about having a closed mind, that's a barrier to change, they all just busted out laughing. And you're welcome to do the same. Even though you don't know me, it's the same topic for all of us. Change, you know, it's like closed mind. The bad thing about when I had a closed mind is I didn't know it. I mean, people don't come up and tell you you've got a closed mind. They say, you're really pissing people off, you know, or you're really having control issues today or anything. You know, I had a few control issues in my time. In my area, they used to call me the bitch with the book. Because once I found the traditions, I found the rules. And I tell you, I became important because I found out how to work those rules. And I told you how to do it, too. And I thought I was like being a, you know, great NA member. Because I was like doing the rules. Because that was like, I never did the rules before. You know, rules. What the hell is that? You know, it's something to break. And then when I got clean, I wanted to follow, when I stopped relapsing, put it that way. It took me 3 years, but I finally got some clean time. And now I have a lot, and I keep it close to my heart because it means such, it's so precious. But I wouldn't be happy today if I hadn't learned to change. And if I had kept that closed mind, I would be a walking textbook. I wouldn't be Susie. I'd be the rules and the paper and the print and the black and white. Because if you said something to me, I'd quote the book back to you. That didn't have anything to do with me. I need to share about me and how I'm doing. And so that's a big change. The reason I did all that stuff is because I wanted to be important. And the way that I get to be important has changed a lot, because when I knew everything, I thought everybody was going to come to me. Well, they did if they wanted to. Somebody was pissing them off about a tradition. How do we do this? You know, how do we do that? Oh, I was so important, I could tell them. You read it from the book, don't tell them. Because then it's the book talking, not you. And I had to learn that. That was some change, too. And anyway, getting back to me, which is my favorite subject, I'm very discombobulated. I hope you guys brought seat belts, because I jump all over the place. Buckle up. I heard somebody say that in the last meeting. They were talking about using, but I'm clean. Buckle up. Back to the being important. I think a lot of the times when we're closed-minded, that's what we want, is we want to feel important. You know, if I have opinions about something, as soon as that thing happens, like, I don't like people yelling at me. If somebody yells at me, my mind closes down. I don't like to be scolded. And because it reminds me, well, I didn't really get yelled at as a kid. I got hit with a ping-pong paddle, but that's because my dad was a preacher. Wore the belt, but you know, you didn't get yelled at, you just got spanked. But anyway, I need to start over, because I have gone so far off the track that I don't even know what ride I'm on anymore. But I know I was talking about things being important and changing being important. And what do I get from being closed-minded? You know, my friend and I were talking on the way over, and she was looking things up, and one of the places that we found about change was in recovery and relapse. You know, and sometimes a change coming on can tell you something. You need to change something else, you know, if you feel a change coming on. And when I was the bitch with the book, people started, like, call me on my shit. I was like, I got away with it for a long time. And then they were like, you know, you're really hard to talk to. Well, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to talk about? I can basically talk about anything. so I can't stay on track, but I could talk about anything. And but I learned through surrender of control that when my mind is closed, I'm like a ball, a bouncing off the freaking walls. And usually it takes somebody else to get the ball started. And I don't want my travels in this program to be started from other people. I want them to be started by me and the spirit that lives within me that wants goodness in my life. And when I start to have the need that I want to be important, I've learned to ask people, you know, to help me. It is so hard to ask people for help, because one of my biggest things was I'm a big pain in the ass to everybody. I don't want to bother you. If they didn't offer, they don't really want to help, you know, that kind of thing. But I started doing what I wanted people to do for me. I started helping other people, really helping them and listening to them, not just quoting a book or just telling them what they should do. I started listening. This was a lot of years clean, too, because I was really good at the other way. And so once I started to take a deep breath and open up my closed mind a little bit, and I stopped bouncing off the walls so much, I was able to have stuff come in. But when stuff started coming in, I had to make room for it. And a lot of the stuff I had to let go of before I could change. Like, I want to change, and I want to get all the benefits from changing, but I still want to keep everything else, too. Even the stuff that hurts. You know, when I first got clean, my behavior was very, very slutty. And I wanted to, I was like, well, I have to give up everything else. I'm not giving that up. And my sponsor told me if I had to have that I need to go to the doctor because I had something wrong with me. And that kind of, well, it didn't help for a couple years. But then I heard it. Like, it took 2 years, and then I heard it. And I learned how to open my mind up and get rid of stuff that was in the way. You know, we were talking on the way over here, you know, like, we're going to change. We're going to change clothes. We're a different size now than we used to be, many of us literally. And, you know, the things that worked for me, and we've heard this in the book, well, I'm not going to quote it, that what worked for us in the beginning might not work for us now because we've changed. You know, so if I'm still trying to wear the size 4, 6 pants, and, you know, I'm really wearing an 8, it hurts trying to wear the wrong kind of pants. And I tell you what, it doesn't impress anybody. Nobody's looking at my ass anymore. Maybe when I was 20, you know. And, you know, I'm lucky, you know. Anyway, I won't go there. And so, but when I'm a size 8, which is not a bad size, you know, when I'm a size 8 on the bottom, but the top is a whole nother story, I can't leave all those size 4s and 6s in my closet. You know why? Because there's no room for the 8s. And then what happens is I got the 8s on, and I got to start wearing the same thing over and over and over and over again. So when I find something in the program that's helped me and helps me change, I start saying the same thing over and over and over and over again. And, you know, for one thing, people get really sick of it. And for two, it doesn't mean as much anymore when I say the same things over and over again. And it's not until I get really good at something that I don't need it anymore. If I get really good at dealing with my anger, all of a sudden nothing pisses me off anymore. It's like, what good was it to learn how to deal with my anger if I don't have to deal with it anymore? Well, that's the point. You know, now you can learn how to deal with size 8 patients, you know. Or if you're really comfortable, sweatpants size peacefulness. And then you can, like, walk around the house and get things done. But when people, when I think, when I'm changing and wearing these different outfits that I think other people want me to wear, they don't fit very well. I mean, at first they might fit, and it feels really good to wear it, you know, like I'm proud of this, and, you know, I got it going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you got a big split in the back of your pants. You know, and that's embarrassing. So keeping the humility is another thing that changed me, because I lived on the, you know, I guess it was I used to live on that, what was outside of me, because I didn't have much inside. Because that ball was closed. It was a closed sphere. And everything that was in it was me. And it was just bouncing off of me. And nothing got changed out. Nothing came in, nothing went out. Except for me saying more of the same. So most of the time when I go through phases, I go through those same kind of phases with spirituality. And, you know, I think that it's, it's important that we say what we mean and we mean what we say. And I have a really cool thing that I like to say that everybody says, and, you know, I have to walk my talk. So I have to be very careful about what I say. I put that on Facebook one day and somebody said, "Stop talking." And then I won't have anything to worry about. But this thing about living for doing things and trying to do things to please other people is very, very hard, because at the end of the day, and I go to bed by myself, and that's changed, and I like being with me today, and that's a lot of change, because I used to do all kinds of stuff to not be with me, even when I got clean. You know, just because the drugs came out, I didn't turn into Susie. You know, I was still Susie, you know, like, whoa. And when I started to get it, I guess I started to get it. The seed was planted when I was relapsing, and my sponsor made me read the second step every day for 90 days. And there's a line in there that says, see, I'm doing it again. There's a line in there that says, you know, the first step left a vacuum in our lives. It doesn't say a hole. A vacuum sucks in old behaviors. So I had to learn to put new things in and let the old stuff go. And, you know, in a way, I kind of liked learning the new stuff, even though it was really hard, because I felt like, oh, great, now I can help so many more people. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm not helping myself, because my closet's getting really crowded. And, you know, I might have something special to go to, or some special thing come up, like a, you know, like a relationship issue might come up, or, you know, I have to move, or my mom has to sell her house, or I have to deal with something that's you know, out of the ordinary and doesn't seem like it's a very spiritual thing to deal with. And, you know, I know how to do that. The bitch with the book can handle that stuff really easily. I just tell everybody what to do. As long as everybody did it, things went well. And I was a good organizer. I worked on this convention some too. I was telling somebody, it was such a good convention. But it wasn't when I was doing it. Anyway, the learning how to get rid of that stuff and having that seed of the second step in that vacuum helped me. Because I don't have that hole in my gut anymore. And the relapse doesn't fill it up. The size 4 or 6 doesn't fill it up. But size 8 is where I am. So that's where I have to start from. One of the things about change is I look at somebody else and I'll see them and I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to be that spiritual, or I want to be that rich, or, you know, I want to be that skinny, or I want to be that, you know, whatever. I guess I don't do that as much as I used to, but I still want to be that rich. And I will one day. I'm going to college now. And I just got my associate's degree. I'm working on my bachelor's. So when I'm done with everything, when it doesn't fit anymore and it hurts too much, that's when I make the change. That's when that seed is planted. Because when the seeds are planted, everything pushes the growth up. And if we cut that off, we're not going to grow. You know? Have you guessed that I talk in metaphors yet? And when I want to turn into a tree and have roots and branches and all the things that give us shade and life and peace and serenity and all that stuff, I don't need to walk around with a pair of scissors cutting everything off. And being open and opening up that ball and letting it open up, it's not a ball anymore. It's a vessel. Two of them, actually. One for me, one for you. Yeah. One for God, one for me. All right, I said God. And so anyway, I think that when I let that world get bigger, I'm kind of scared of having a really big world, because that little tiny world inside that ball is so comfortable, because I know every little thing that's in there. But those are the things that hurt me. When I open things up, it's all unknown. Just like I had to learn to deal with the anger. Did anybody piss me off? Then I had to learn to deal with peacefulness. And now I'm peaceful. So it's like I have to have some kind of a challenge to go to. I need something to change all the time now, because I'm used to changing. And the one thing that's really cool is if you don't think you're changing, ask people around you if you've changed. If they tell you no, you better call your sponsor. But if they tell you yeah, ask them what's changed. Because it's real important that we know where we're going. You know, I forget the examples. I just had a really tough time learning how to change and learning to take incoming information instead of only presenting outgoing information was a very spiritual thing, because my higher power wants to give me stuff. He doesn't want to take things away, or she doesn't want to take things away. And I am a giving person. That's my nature. I like to give. And I can't be a giving person if I don't have anything in there to give. And I can't give you something from 1986, because you don't want it. You know, it's like when I was moving my mom, she's like, well, somebody might want that plastic spoon. I'm like, why are you saving the plastic spoon? Well, somebody might want it. It's good for something. I'm like, it was in 1986, good for a lot of things. Good for brownies, good for cakes, good for soup. But sometimes you have to use different tools. And the tools I use today, one of them is remembering where I came from. Because I need to remember what it was like inside that little ball. I thought it was perfect and comfortable and all that stuff, but it wasn't. And when I look at other people that are inside the ball, I see how miserable and negative they are. And I want positive stuff in my life. Damn it, I'm 50. I want to be happy. I'm tired of being pissed off, upset, and not dealing with me, always dealing with you. So now that I'm dealing with me, I'm not hurting anymore as much as I used to, and I can handle things as they come up, even if I haven't practiced them for 10 years. I learn how to do things. Just because this guy was saying at the other meeting, just because I'm nice now, you know, and I was pretty mean before. It wasn't my goal to be mean. My goal was to be important, but I came across mean. And I like to be nice now because, you know what? I like seeing a smile in the crowd. You know, I don't like seeing, God. You know, I don't like that, oh, yeah, well, she's going to say it's the sixth tradition. I'm going to talk to her about the first, you know. And recovery's not a contest. The only person I'm in recovery with is myself. And I have to want the changes that come in my life. But the only way I'm going to find out what's going to benefit me most is from the people that I'm around. Because they're my mirrors. And if I hang around people that are pissed off, getting in fights, gossiping, you know, I don't know, I probably am doing the same thing. I do that, I have to admit. But I have, you know, I have people in my life that don't listen anymore. And, you know, it helps me not to, because it doesn't make me feel important to talk about somebody else's problems. And I can talk about my own. And when I learned to do that, I learned to change. Now, when I got here, I told you my dad was a preacher. One of the things that's changed the most is how I view my higher power. And when I first got here, I could not stand even hear the word God. Because I remember my dad. He was like, you know, pretty Pentecostal, hellfire and brimstone, Southern Baptist preacher from South Carolina. And I was the kid that was using and screwing. And he died when I was 13, he died. And one day I was looking at a picture and he had the Serenity Prayer sitting on his desk. And I thought that was really cool, because I really loved my dad, but I didn't want that kind of a God. I didn't want somebody that was going to punish me, because that's all I ever faced. So I gave myself the freedom to let go and change that rule-based, black and white, higher power that I grew up with. The higher power that I have today changes all the time, but it's still goodness. And it still comes from a place of goodness and happiness. And that's the place I want to come from. And that is the place, my friends, that I hope you all come from too. Thanks for letting me share.